Hi, my name is Akshita and welcome to the fifth episode of the India Forum's podcast series, TIF Talkies. This season, we've been discussing the ongoing farmers' protests, and so far we have addressed how the new farm laws have tackled the MSP, mandi rules, changing ecologies, as well as the history and evolution of farmer identity in India. Today, in this last episode of the season, we'll be in conversation with Mr. Ajay V. Jakhar. Mr. Jakhar is a citrus farmer and is serving as the chairman of Bharat Krishak Samaj, a farmer's advocacy organization. Mr. Jakhar, thank you so much for taking out the time to join us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
In one of your articles for the Indian Express, you've written about how the farmers' protests have been the result of low farm gate prices, which in turn, and I'll quote from the article here, have been a consequence of the government's carefully crafted agenda to keep located the urban consumer vote bank. Could you explain what you mean by this for us briefly?
In the last 7 years, India has witnessed more farmer agitations than in the last 70 years put together. The government must introspect, if not for their policies, what is responsible for this churning on the streets and on the farms. In all developing nations, whether it is Tunisia, the Arab Spring in Egypt, or the crisis in Yemen, all these crises were triggered by food inflation. And Indian government is no exception to this trend. Just that this government is dependent on the urban vote bank, the middle class vote bank for survival, that their priority is not allowing food prices to rise to hurt consumers. The government, on a whim, will ban exports when commodity prices rise, slash import duties to subdue farm gate prices. This has been happening regularly, for example, for onions, pulses, edible oils, and all these impact farmers on the farm. But when prices crash, the government will not come in support of farmer livelihoods. And I think it's important to mention that in the United States, when government actions lead to fall in commodity prices or for loss to farmers, the government compensates those farmers for losses arising out of government action. And that is what should be happening in India. There is a huge gap between intention and reality. And that's summarizing what's happening.
Right. As a farmer yourself, how do you see the role of the state in agricultural market regulation? And where do you think lies the main governance failure in existing laws concerning the farmers' livelihoods?
Agriculture marketing is a state subject. The failure of agriculture markets can be attributed to the states and not to the central government. Possibly, the central government's frustration on its inability to progress in attempting to make markets more efficient led to the Farm Acts. The other theory is that the Prime Minister's office pushed the various ministries to deliver, to bring out a revolutionary change, and the Farm Acts were a result of this exercise, which happened without consultations. My take is that agriculture markets can never be as efficient as one may desire. It will require mechanisms of interference, of balances and checks. The problem in agriculture marketing is lack of governance by state governments in their mandi system. And this makes markets even less efficient than they can be. I mean, they could be much more efficient. Traders connive with officials to loot farmers of their fair share. Finally, the agriculture market regulations need to be strengthened, not diluted. We need to design more transparency and accountability in the system, not otherwise. If there is a will, it can surely be done.
In September, the Ministry of Agriculture signed agreements with 5 firms to harness big data from the farm sector for AgriStack, a digitized platform. The government has said that AgriStack will increase farmer incomes and help them make informed decisions about what crops to grow. Could you comment on whether such a technology would in fact boost farmers' livelihoods when there are already so many other concerns being raised by protesting farmers?
Let's be clear, data is important. It's very important to design and for efficient implementation of good policies. The government must have good quality data and must have that in real time. Questions around governance, regulation, access, monetization of data have not been adequately addressed. The government seems to have reprinted what the corporate sector suggestions were. In fact, they seem to have asked the corporate sector to design and form the agenda of these steps. It's about control of information. Google, Facebook, Reliance, Amazon are not merchandise companies going ahead. They are data companies. This agri-stack will lead to consolidation of power and money in a few hands to adversely affect the public, which includes the farmers. And it's absolutely ridiculous for the government of India to share data of farmers with the private sector without seeking or taking consent of the farmers. The Ministry of Agriculture thinks it is correct in understanding what is good for farmers and can take decisions on their behalf. Nothing could be further from this.
Between the farmers' demands and the government's wishes, is there another way to reimagine the new farm laws? And what would a practical middle ground look like? Also, if amendments do not work, is there a need for a new legal framework that is both farmer-friendly as well as politically feasible?
Too much water has flowed under the bridge now for an amicable solution to come out without the government stepping back. Trust has been completely lost. While the government deals with one agitation resolution at a time, but it fails to understand that trust is eroding in a community on not only the government's intent, but also its ability to deliver. Farmer leaders too have their backs to the wall and cannot change stance without losing out. The tendency of this government has been to resolve issues by allowing them to linger on and allowing fatigue to break the spirit of the opposition. In any negotiation, it is the big brother which has to give way. And in this case, the big brother is the government of India. There has to be a face saving in the process for all concerned parties for the agitation to have a peaceful resolution. The Supreme Court was nudged by the government to make a committee to give suggestion on the farm laws. That committee submitted its report around 6 months ago, but the Supreme Court has not officially forwarded it to the government. I hope the Supreme Court realizes it has no authority to tell the central government to hold or change the laws, as these have been enacted by the parliament. Nevertheless, the suggestions that have come from this committee should be put out in public domain and a debate be allowed around it. And that would help bring the resolution, us closer to a resolution. And hopefully this will happen. We need new legal framework for betterment of the food sector and of the community. This whole drama is looking to be a dark comedy of errors.
Right. How do you think issues of technology and climate change can be addressed in legislation concerning farmers' livelihoods? Should they be addressed at all? Or are these factors something that would adjust themselves with a good, robust government framework?
See, foremost, India is no longer on the precipice of an ecological and climatic disaster. We are already in a free fall. Like the earth spinning around the sun cannot be witnessed or felt by the people on the ground. Similarly, policymakers in their silos, in their daily crisis fighting mode, are unable to grasp or feel the fall. They don't understand the gravity of the situation. To them, it is a crisis which is some time off. To the question if technology can solve it, I think technology is too general a term. In many cases, positive impact is overestimated as we refuse to account for the externalities associated with the process of the application of the technology. For example, climate change primarily came about because of use of fossil fuel technology. And to address these problems, we need to understand that who sits at the table to assess what is good or bad is the main issue. We can't leave it to the scientists for two reasons, especially when it comes to the farm sector. One, today farmers are criticized for all the practices leading to environmental degradation and climate change. While we tend to overlook and forget that farmers were taught these agriculture practices over generations by scientists and the private sector, but nobody blames them for it. They also tend to look down upon traditional knowledge, not able to understand something they have never been taught. We need to assess programs, restructure policies to create a balance between economic and environment sustainability. It's not easy. It will get even more difficult. And I have no hesitation in saying that the government is unprepared for this.
So, Mr. Jakhar, in your opinion, what should a policy on agriculture in India look like, and what are some of the key factors that you think it should prioritize?
India needs a food systems policy and not work in silos of agriculture policy, food ministry, climate response. It's all interconnected. Unfortunately, the government does not have the capacity to form a food systems policy. It's a very difficult task. And I'll give you an example why it's difficult. When a child starts to learn to ride a bicycle, it's a very difficult task. But once the person knows how to cycle, it can be done without application of mind. But with a food systems approach, it becomes more complex when you realize what a food systems approach means. You know, when you realize the complexity of it, it becomes more and more complex. And that can be daunting to everyone. And that leads one to put off action. We need to understand that the health of the people and the planet are one and interconnected. We also need to ensure that all players in the food value chain have dignified livelihoods, repurpose farm subsidies, pay for farm ecosystem services, focus on consumption patterns, and multiple other things are required. We not only need to educate farmers, but educate farmer leaders, and also prioritize to educate policymakers to ensure better regulation of the sector. So that reduces their dependence on consultancy organizations. The government will have to prioritize human resources over physical infrastructure if it needs to win against these problems that India faces. Thank you.
Mr. Jakhar, could you just explain a little briefly what a food system approach is?
A food systems is the complete systems approach. How food is grown, how it is sold, how it is transported, how it is processed, how it is eaten, and how it is wasted in a circular economy is a part of a food systems approach. And that includes issues which are not normally discussed, like consolidation in the food value chain of power in a few hands. It's about using inputs on the land which lead to environmental degradation. It's about biodiversity. It's about so many other things. Anything and everything connected with food, right from growing it to consuming it and wasting it, is a part of a food systems approach.
So to conclude, Mr. Jakhar, could you give us a broad assessment of the situation as it is currently? There is a lot of dissatisfaction amongst farmers throughout the country, though of course it varies from state to state. And like you mentioned at the start, it has been brewing since before the current protests. So as a farmer yourself and a member of a farmer's organization, how do you see very broadly the future of farming and agriculture, both as an economic activity as well as a source of livelihood? And what would be the possible steps to ensure that in all states, progress in terms of uplifting farmers economically is made equitably?
Thank you for that good question. Like I said earlier, there is dissatisfaction with the establishment in spite of the transfer of 6,000 rupees under PM Kisan that happens regularly, primarily because the gains of the 6,000 rupees are negated by the expensive fuel, that is petrol and diesel, and gas cylinder prices. I think a dispirited opposition is one of the reasons that the dissatisfaction in the country is still under wraps. Farming is a tough, tedious life and fraught with risks of various sorts. And most parents do not want their children to be in agriculture. They hope to get them employment in off-farm jobs. But lack of employment opportunities, farmers seeking better livelihood options, just don't exist anymore. There are no jobs. Coupled with that is medical expenses, which are a big burden on rural families. And one of the primary reasons that farm families or farmer families or families living in rural areas go into debt. And so, you know, a lot of things combined together are adding to the distress and dissatisfaction. The situation is not good. India is heading into choppy waters with a combination of climate change, depleting groundwater levels, and population, which will require far more food nutritious food than we have available. And so nutritious food is going to be in short supply. It's not that the government is blind to this, but they're so busy firefighting weekly and monthly crisis, like the fertilizer shortages happening in the country now, that they have no time to design, plan a food systems approach, or have the resources to implement if there was a policy like that. I feel that to create off-farm employment opportunities, lots of investments need to be made into a state. And if you look at different states, they have different problems. Normally, states with access to natural resources are better placed to fund welfare programs and invest in infrastructure, which may lead to jobs. But some states like Punjab, which will need a special package to make a transformation, or they will simply sink financially and socially once the GST compensation comes to an end.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Jakar, for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you to our listeners as well for tuning in to the first season of DIF Talkies, where we discuss the farmers' protest. We will be back with a second season, so do make sure to follow and subscribe to all our channels to stay updated with more information.